Welcome to the November 10th, 2020 Platinum College call. And so glad you are here with us tonight. If you haven't met me, I'm Gail Watkins. Glad you could join us tonight. Okay, great. Let's hit some of your questions.
Can I jump in? This is Cheryl.
Sure. Hi, Cheryl. How are you?
I'm good. So, you know, I just had the litter last Thursday. And yep. I lost a puppy, and I wanted to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
So this puppy was, first of all, at an hour and 45 minutes, it didn't seem like my dog was progressing at all. So we called the vet, and of course they say come, but they're an hour away. So I really debated on what to do. But so, I mean, I should have called earlier, but what, long story short, we get there. Of course, we see the puppy crowning as we pull in the parking lot.
Of course. But
she was crying and couldn't seem to push it out. So we went ahead and went in, and he helped her deliver that puppy. And then we did an ultrasound and saw that everybody's heart rates were good. And he told me he thought it would be best to go back into the car as opposed to putting him in a room, because that would all the labor if she was stressed and whatever. So we go to the car. This, as soon as we get in the car, she didn't even have a contraction, and the little puppy that died just slid out. It was only 120 grams.
That's remarkable. So for those of you who deal with ounces, that's a little over four ounces.
Yeah, but the rest of the puppies were between 190 and 220,
so more normal.
Yeah, so we had the puppies on the way home in the car, basically. But everything was fine. That little puppy was very vigorous at birth. All that night seemed very vigorous. I thought she was nursing. And now, in retrospect, I'm not sure she really was. Because the next morning when I weighed her, she hadn't gained. And she was mouthing the nipple, but not, she, her mouth wouldn't open.
You know, you said that. That's...
I could not open her mouth. I could get a tube in to tube feed her, but I could not check for the cleft palate. I couldn't get her mouth open big enough to even nurse. And it looked like she had quite an overbite. So like the bottom jaw was short.
Mm-hmm. It happens.
So there was something obviously wrong, but I just wondered if anyone had ever seen anything like that. I mean, I tube fed her, but it didn't. You know, she gained weight when I tube fed her, but she was fading anyway. I mean, and she just passed. But I've never seen anything like that.
Well, the really tiny puppies, you know, when you're at a 4 ounce puppy, unless it's Chihuahua, you know, the really, really small breeds, it's, those puppies are such high risk. And one of the challenges that they have is that they burn up so many calories just living. It's real, and nursing, you know, so it's harder for them to nurse. They have to put more energy into it. And so you get into this very rapid calorie deficit with them that is tough to recover. But I'm not sure. So that would explain why she didn't gain weight, even though she was nursing.
Well, I'm not sure. That's what I'm saying. Now that I... Because the first hour was in the car, and then it was just so stressful, and I hadn't slept, and I'm afraid I just wasn't aware enough. Not that there's anything I could have done, because I wasn't supposed to feed the first 12 hours anyway, right?
Right. You know, they really need to get colostrum. I mean, you can try and check to see if they're getting colostrum and things like that, but they're isn't a whole lot. Has anybody had a puppy with a shortened jaw or frozen jaw? I have not. So I have seen puppies with very short jaws, that most of those puppies don't make it, because at least in the cases of the ones that I knew, the problem really wasn't the jaw, it was the skull. And it was kind of an oversized skull and a misshapen skull that ended up resulting in this problem. But I don't think I can, I have no experience.
There's a syndrome that in people, because my friend who's an OBGYN told me she's seen babies like that. And when I described to her that I couldn't open the mouth, you know, and I don't remember what the name of it was. I just wondered if I've never heard of it and never seen anything like it, and just wondered if anybody else
I haven't, but I'm not seeing anybody pipe up. So if you've, Tracy says no, Barb saying no. So it might, you know, Charles.
I've seen babies like that with microgantia in the jaw. Doesn't work. They end up with extensive facial surgery to turn them around.
Must be really, really difficult for them to latch.
I don't know how a baby could. I mean, she didn't look that odd. I mean, I didn't even notice it at first. But when I looked at her more closely, I realized that jaw was shorter. I mean, it just looks like she had a big overbite.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes it really difficult for them to form that vacuum, which is obviously essential for them to be able to nurse effectively. And so they're not getting that complete seal. So the main thing I was thinking, Cheryl, when I saw your post was, you know, she was in a really bad, one of two things. She could have had serious birth defects that affected her weight and sort of her start. But she also could have just been in an awful place in the uterus. She implanted in a terrible place in the uterus. And that, you know, at 4 ounces, that really sets them back so much that survival becomes really difficult. Sometimes we can do it, but a lot of times we can't. So I'm sorry you lost her, but I'm thrilled you have the rest of the pups.
Yeah, and the rest of them, I just weighed them right before I got on the call, and they were born Thursday, and they're all at about, they've gained about 70% of the birth weight already. So they're doing great.
Terrific. Terrific. Great. That might be the best we can offer. I'm sorry we don't have anything more.
Okay. Just thought I'd check. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Eve, you want to ask your question? Normal progression of recovery from a C-section, what to look for, what's normal, what's an issue for concern? Yeah, I think many of us can talk about that. So it's very similar to a spay. So 10 days really limited activity, which usually isn't a problem after C-section because they're in the box with the puppies. 30 days before you start doing ab work with her, but you're not going to be doing ab work with her anyway. The incision should be running along the length of her body. So typically the mammary glands close over it and it's quite protected. It's kind of phenomenally protected. It should stay like any kind of suture line. It might get a little red, but it shouldn't get red puffy. There certainly shouldn't be anything coming out of it. The one thing that I see with both spay and C-section suture lines often is that hair gets caught in it. So just use tweezers or something. And if there's any hair in the sutures, just pull it out.
I mean, she's not a golden retriever, so she doesn't have a lot of, her tummy anyway was already not too furry because of giving birth and then they
shaving.
Shaved it, yeah. So, but I mean, it's actually, they did shave it, but it doesn't even make that big a difference because she had already lost a lot of the fur there. It's more just, she seems to be doing great, honestly, thank God. We're only 24 hours since the C-section, but I just, I've been taking her temperature. Her temperature's been stable under 102, 101 point something for the last, you know.
That's great.
She's, we only have one puppy. I mean, the benefit of that is there isn't a food fight going on all over her abdomen. So that's good. And she's to me, it's not that different. I'm nowhere close to as experienced as most of the folks on this call. So this is only our second litter, but she's actually, as of today, pretty much just acting the way she did after her first litter. She's not back on her normal food yet, but she wasn't then either. She's just a little, she's sleepy. She's just cuddling with her puppy and nursing. She has some discharge, but she cleans it up quickly and it doesn't seem to be too much. I just, because of what just happened and this
craziness
escalation. Yeah. It's sort of like things escalated and created a crisis where is how I kind of feel about it is that things led to one thing led to another, and a crisis was created that didn't need to be created. So I'm trying, I just want to balance between, I don't want to miss the sign of something and dismiss it because I'm trying not to escalate and create a new crisis. So I just kind of wanted, like, what are the, if she doesn't have a fever and she's not having terrifying levels of discharge, or, you know, what are the things that would make me say, oh my God, something's really bad?
Heat around the incision, red around the incision, drainage from the incision. Vaginal discharge isn't a big deal.
Right.
That would be normal. I wouldn't, you know, barring something bizarre.
Something crazy looking.
Yeah. Lethargy, like lethargy.
Which
not,
is different than I'm worn out from just having gone through all this stuff.
Or I'm curled up with my puppy and I'm sleeping. So they can't pick their head up. They're not standing up when you ask them to go out. You know, you say, sorry, you do have to go out. And she's like, I simply can't.
Yeah.
Not drinking, which, you know, they don't always drink a lot after
she's
a litter.
She's not so into drinking. So, you know, but that's not that. I mean, I've been tricking her into having venison bone broth and things.
Yeah. Like, chicken broth. Yeah. 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 They stop eating and fever. Okay. And then really any discoloration on the belly.
Okay.
You know, anything, any kind of dark or red. But other than that, I find the only issues, I'll let everybody else chime in. The issues that I've had are a reaction to the sutures. And that's been problematic. And then you're going to get heat, redness.
Okay.
And if she hasn't had abdominal surgery before, you don't always know that they're going to have a reaction to the sutures.
Yeah, she's never had any surgery of any kind.
Yeah, so, you know, they try and pick the least reactive sutures, but sometimes they get the wrong one and the bitch reacts to it. But then you're going to see elevated fever. You're going to see fever. Okay. You're going to see redness. You're going to see puffiness, and you're back into the vet. What meds is she on?
She's basically not on any meds now. They gave her a shot of an antibiotic that they felt was the, I can't remember which one it was at this moment. They sent her home with some tramadol if needed. And we gave her one last night and she doesn't really seem to need it now. So she's not really on anything.
So watch the pain, because typically they give them a pain injection during the surgery, and so that lasts 24 hours.
They did, yeah, and that's what they gave her. The tramadol was for that, in case she felt pain.
Right.
And she
so
yesterday, so that's why we gave her the tramadol.
Yeah. So just like with calcium, you want to stay ahead of pain. If you see any indication,
okay,
of pain, get the meds into her fast and keep giving them for a little while. You know, for a day. Don't let the pain get ahead of you.
I see,
otherwise
it'd be harder to knock it down than to keep it down.
Much okay. harder. Much
so
harder.
She's, I mean, she's so there she is right now, if you can see this. So
yeah,
snoozing and nursing. So she doesn't, she's not striking me as in pain right now.
You'll see, it looks very much like calcium. Panting, anxiety, not able to settle, not lying down and sleeping. They usually stay curled up.
Okay.
If you see any of that, give pain meds first and then calcium.
Okay. I've actually managed to get some calcium citrate into her today. Okay. Thank you. That's really helpful. And that's a good reminder about trying to stay ahead of it, because they are so incredibly good at not expressing pain.
Absolutely. That's a huge issue for us. That's why staying ahead of it's better than falling behind, because by the time they show that there's pain, they're way into it at that okay. point. So frankly, I usually treat
chilled out. Like, she's chilled out, napping, nursing, then you wouldn't be feeling like this is a dog who I need to be giving pain.
I give pain meds for 2 to 3 days.
You do? Okay.
I just do it automatically. I've had abdominal surgery. Like, the thought of going home and having somebody pushing on me without having any pain meds, I I wouldn't be very nice. So, so I always give it for 2 to 3 days. And
okay. I mean, part of it was honestly hard to get pain meds in her because she just really had no taste for anything. So I was trying to be a little compassionate, not trying to stuff
her
down her too, but I hear you. So sorry, we're being used as an agility course right now by
Kamala.
Very strong puppy. Great.
Okay. Can I just say something? One of the things we have to remember with our dogs is they're incredibly stoic.
Yeah.
So finding signs of pain is going to be very subtle and challenging, which is also why I would go for 3 days of pain meds just to make sure.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not, obviously I'm not trying to tell her to tough it out. So I hear you guys both on that and I appreciate that. That's a good
one. Yeah, and there's really no downside.
Okay, and that's what I wasn't sure if how much of a downside there was on just having. Sometimes the pain meds make them kind of loopy and disoriented, and so that's why I wasn't sure which was worse.
Yeah. So see how she reacts to the tramadol. My dogs have been phenomenal with tramadol over the years, and I know tramadol's sort of on the outs right now, but it always helped my dogs. So.
Okay.
Maybe, you know, as Chris says, there's 40% owner placebo effect in dogs. So maybe I was just falling for the placebo effect, but.
She's basically getting massaged, not on her abdomen, like on her neck, by some human approximately 22 hours a day since she's been home.
Yeah, so at about 3 weeks, you're going to be like, we're done with it, honey. And she's going to be saying, what? Wait, I thought this was a partnership here. So anyway, good. Okay, they look great. Let me move on.
Thank you.
I see Kim. Kim, do you want to ask your question or you want me to read it? Do you have a mic? I see Kim, but maybe she's frozen. Okay, Kim says, I'm new to the group and have a lot going on here. I have a Sheltie bitch who's 6. She had 2 pups in May. I'm rebreeding her on the stud and the bitch. I have a 3-year-old border collie who we just drew progesterone on today. She's 3.27 and 100% cornified, so she's an estrus. And to top it off, I'm a doggy doula for a litter of dog de Bordeaux who is due to, 15 puppies this weekend. Oh my goodness gracious. You are a little busy.
Yeah.
Wine. Do you drink wine? So I would go for that.
I do. We actually make wine, so it's good. We got that covered.
I love it.
And you know, COVID has kept us busy in the basement. And so the Shelties are interesting because she's 6 and she gave me 2 pups last time. And I thought it was a small litter because of her age. But I've done more vaginal cytology this time. I've got my microscope. My husband thinks it's an extra arm of my body now. I'm doing everything. She was about 80% or 90% cornified on Sunday. And yesterday she started flirting with the boys. And I'm like, okay, let's get on board quicker this time with the semen, because I think my timing last time was probably off. I didn't do progesterone on her and I didn't do cytology. I didn't do anything. I just gave, you know, what I thought based on behavior. So it's nice to actually having a bachelor's degree in biology, go back all that stuff all over again and go, wow, science. But my question,
you remember how much you loved microscopes when you were
I do. My friends are getting tired of seeing semen and vaginal stains. They just don't understand. My family, same. But my question is, I've been reading a lot now on the ovulation saliva ferning. And what's your feeling on ferning?
Yeah, I mean, I know Myra has talked about it for years. It just doesn't have a huge amount of support for it. But if you're not doing progesterone, there's not much harm in it.
That's just it.
My bitch, my border collie bitch and my Shelby bitch can one day apart. The border collie was Tuesday last week. The Shelby was Wednesday. Yeah, cycling together, isn't it grand?
Gotta love it. Yeah. Gotta love it.
So I'm doing the progesterone on the border collie bitch because the semen's coming in from Miami. If we can find a teaser bitch in the Miami area, just an FYI, anybody got a teaser bitch in Miami?
Yeah, put it out on the page, okay. The Facebook group.
So I've just been doing cytology side by side and monitoring side by side. And the interesting thing is I took the border collie today to the repro vet. And they said she's 100% cornified, which kind of matches because on Sunday she was about 85-90% of the cells. I saw a few parabasal, but mostly the eggs and cornflakes. So I was like, okay, that makes sense. Her progesterone's 3.27.
So, yep, so she's,
you know, we're first saliva this morning and it was clear, nothing going on. I looked at the Shelty bitch and I can see the ferning in the Shelty bitch.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Yeah. Well, definitely go for progesterone with the border collie because one, you're shipping in semen and you don't want to waste your money on that. And the ferning isn't 100%. It's just not 100%. Right. At 3.27, most likely her LH peak was yesterday.
Yep.
And so ovulation tomorrow, eggs ripe Friday.
And yep, so we're doing another progesterone on Thursday and having the shipment Friday, Thursday for Friday, and then Friday for Saturday.
Yeah. So if eggs ripe Friday, you're going to, Friday, Saturday, I would probably try and do Saturday, Sunday, but of course Sunday and it's almost impossible. Are you Sunday, TCI?
Not open.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think you'll be a little early, most likely, but, how old is she's three. So she's young. Is he pretty fertile?
We don't know. He's first time stud as well.
So hopefully he'll be nice and fertile. Yeah, all we can do is hope. If you know, it's a little late to be doing a collection now. So So
any advice anyone has about 15 dog de Bordeaux? I've whelped a litter of 13 mini poodles, but the Brachy breed makes me a little nervous, and they're first time breeders, so they're counting on me, and I've got a lot of experience in Shelties and border collies and poodles and other things, but none of those big or breaky breeds.
And how is the bitch with you? She loves me. Okay.
Great. Yeah. She loves me.
Good. Those pups are usually big. Just be ready for big puppies. Yeah.
They weren't going to do an x-ray and I begged them. I said, listen, on ultrasound, you stopped at a 6 count and I know there's more in there. Like you've got to give me something to work off of simply because I want to know not only how many are there, but in what position they're in and the head size to make sure that they're going to fit out.
Yeah, because of her size, it's just so rarely an issue. Now, positioning can be an issue, but
yeah,
especially with 15.
Most of them look like their feet first.
It happens. So are you, and they're set for 15? They kind of know how they're going to handle this?
Yeah, we've done a meeting. Well, we're on constant Facebook chat.
Tell them
together.
To join Avidog. They need Avidog.
I did. And, I took all of my knowledge from here and all of my wealth and all of my whelping supplies. And we went up on Sunday and we have a game plan. But that was before we knew there was 15. So we had another call. They're about a half an hour away from me. And yeah, so add that on top of I need to be getting my dog to the repro vet for, progesterone testing, insemination, and hope that the dog de Bordeaux holds her feet together till I get there.
Are they taking her temp? Are they taking her temperature?
Well, Yeah, I encouraged them to start 2 weeks ago and they didn't. I encouraged them to chart it. And he's like, look, my thermometer has a memory. And I'm like, I don't care what your thermometer has. I want a chart. Yeah. I want to see that drop.
Exactly.
So he's charting now.
Good. On your Sheltie bitch, I would say that if she was, did you say 80% on Sunday?
Yep.
So the norm, and this is just the norm, you know, none of them are actually normal or average. It's from 80%, 2 days to LH, 2 days to ovulation, 2 days to ripe eggs. So what does that put it? Sunday, Friday. There you go. You'll be doing both breedings Friday, Saturday, Sunday, something like that. And whelping 15 puppies.
Yeah, I did one last night just because I have the stud right there. He is. I have the stud, and I was like, you know, I can get it on board. It's live. It may last 5 days. Who knows? And I planned on doing at least another on Wednesday and Friday.
Yeah, you're definitely early. And just remember that the thing you're doing is diminishing his sperm count. And you want that optimal sperm when those eggs are ripe. So yeah, it's great to get it in ahead of time, but the chance that you're gonna have a lot of sperm remaining 5 days out, enough to fertilize eggs. So be restrained. Are you doing AIs? You're not breeding them?
So you would say not Wednesday? Yeah.
I wouldn't. I'd say Thursday, Friday. I'd probably do Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah, because if she's just at 80%, she's just entered estrus, and estrus isn't fertile.
Right.
It's the eggs are being, the follicles are maturing, the eggs are being released, the eggs then have to mature. So you still have quite a while before she is fertile.
Okay.
And what you'll be able to see, as Celeste always says, estrus is estrus. So there's not a huge change in the smears, but you'll see typically a diminishment of the nuclei. So, you know, you get the cornflakes and you can see the nuclei. And then as they get closer to ripe eggs, those nuclei usually go to nothing or just a tiny bit. Yeah, I don't think I would breed on Wednesday because you want him to be as fertile as possible.
Yeah, and I've added Glycoflex.
Great.
And I collected him back in maybe September, and I started, no, maybe earlier than that. And then I started the Glycoflex, and I see under the microscope a huge difference. So
great.
You know, is it a temperature related because it was so warm in those months and now it's cooler? Maybe, but the count is definitely amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I was just reading another ReproVets article on Glycoflex the other day, and they're like, we don't know why it works, but it definitely works. So some things this is anecdotal, but it's a good one. It ain't gonna hurt.
Proof, Indy was in the spring. Indy was like 300 million. And then going on 2 Glycoflex twice a day, he was at 2.1 or 2.6.
That's right, you said billion.
I was like, I don't know what after that.
Freeze that boy. Holy cow, you're good. 18 breedings in a collection.
I know. It's like, wow, that's really pretty amazing seeing this.
It really does work. It does work.
Yeah, and he's my fourth generation raw fed dog in my line. So
cool.
It means a lot to try and get something to continue the line.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you don't want to do any progesterone.
Not that I don't want to. It's like, where do I fit that in with the Sheltie bit?
Well, if you're taking that border collie, take your Sheltie and get one. Just get one, because then you'll be able to, you know, if it's at 3.27, you know, really good chance LH was the day before, ovulation will be the next day. So that single progesterone can really narrow down your breeding window. So if you can fit in a lot.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
Support. It's amazing. I appreciate y'all.
Oh, we're so glad you're here, Kim. And please let us know how the whelping goes. Holy cow. That's insane. Just insane. Terry, I saw Terry on. There he is. Whelping window is 61 to 65 days where ovulation is day one.
I'm going to have to change my spreadsheet.
Sorry. Yeah.
That's not a big deal.
LH counts as day zero for reasons I have no idea, but ovulation is day one, so you'll be off on a day for a day.
Okay.
She is at day 59.
She's now at day 60.
Day 60.
Because I just updated my spreadsheet.
So whelping window starts tomorrow. Remind me, I think I know how many pups you thought you had. There we go.
Well, ultrasound, they saw four.
Okay.
So she had a fair bit of a morning sickness for a while and wasn't eating all that well. And we tried a lot of things. So maybe I overdid it because she's, gained a fair bit of weight for her size, going from 33 to 45 pounds.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And she's a border collie. She's actually Susan Garrett's Momentum's litter mate.
Oh, cool. Oh, that'll be fun.
And her weight gain is pretty close to what she had. She, I think, was at 46 when she whelped, and they both started about 33, 34. And she ended up with the four puppies.
Four puppies. Yeah, so maybe they just... And she ended up with the C-section, right? But she wasn't part of Avidog when she had the section. So I don't think I've ever heard the story of why she sectioned.
I think I did ask her about that because I was kind of concerned. She was 2 hours into hard labor, and I think her regular vet was not available, and she had an hour drive to get to a vet who could to deal with it. I'm not sure what day she was on.
2 hours of hard labor is C-section time.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We did Doppler this morning and found four towards the end, the tail end. Well, I'm just wondering, did we look thoroughly enough? How much of an area should we cover?
So do you have the diagram from A to Z?
I have her diagram.
You have her diagram. I love it.
I took a picture of her and marked the spot.
So you're going to feel her rib cage.
Yeah.
And so you're looking everywhere from the rib cage to her hind leg.
Yeah.
And from the whole soft area, the whole area that doesn't have any bone. But they can tuck under the rib cage. So when you're up against the ribs, let me see if I can do this. So let's say she's lying here and here are her ribs. You can take the Doppler and direct the beam a little bit under the rib cage to see if you can catch a heartbeat under there. Now, with a smallish litter, because for a border collie, 4 to 6 is, a nice average size litter, chances are they're not tucked up under the rib cage. But say that dog de Bordeaux with 15 puppies, they're under the rib cage, because there's just no other.
I can't believe there's going to be 15 of those giant dogs.
I know. <Crazy. laughs> That's a lot of puppies, a lot of weight. So, you could wait till tomorrow. How did she handle you Dopplering? Was she fine with it?
Oh, she was great. She was just great. Yeah.
Terrific. So you could do it again tomorrow. And I have to say, I'm not really good at being methodical as in starting at one end and going to the other, but I'm pretty good at using the diagram, hitting all the spots and then checking in between them. And so that's normally how I do it. I have the diagram, I look that back between the last two nipples is the most common place that you're going to find them. So you could go back over it again and see if you find any more. Don't push down hard on the Doppler wand because you can pick up puppies from the other side if you do that. Okay. So you just lay it on her and you're sort of turning it like a joystick. You're directing the beam slowly in different directions to because that beam doesn't go that far if we're not putting pressure on it. And yep. so okay. you sort of have to do a 360 or 180, I guess, you know, directing it this way and then moving it a little. And if four is what you get again, then chances are it's four and she's the same as Minty, you know, it's same weight gain, same number. How is her temperature? Is it staying normal at this point?
Yeah, I've been tracking it. The last one I did just at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock your time was 100.5. Earlier today at noon, she was at 99.4. Then she was at 100 this morning.
So she's still really, really normal. Chances are you're not having puppies tomorrow.
I wouldn't think so. No, yeah. She's not fidgeting at all yet. And
so typically that four to six puppies are going to come 63-64 days, typically, you know, but okay. As I said earlier, the girls don't read the book and don't want to be average. And, but you're usually not going to see them early unless something happens. You'll see them towards the later end.
Okay.
Yeah, it's exciting.
It's very exciting. We're nervous. It's our first time, but let me tell you, the information is overwhelming. It's really tremendous.
Oh, good.
I'm an engineer, so I really appreciate how well organized.
Oh,
and like,
good.
At work, I'm like, I do, everything is on a spreadsheet, basically. I do spreadsheets, basically. That's what I do. So they're very.
So helpful. You have a few spreadsheets in A to Z. I'm kind of a spreadsheet person too, as you can probably tell. Probably nowhere near as sophisticated as yours. So maybe I'll get your help on improving them because I'm not great at programming them.
Oh, sure. I have a personal mission to not let Microsoft defeat me. So
that is a good mission. I feel that same way about Google most of the time. Terrific. Well, let us know how it goes. We're excited for
you. Yeah, thank you so much.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Teal mentioned pain. This goes back to Eve, that the heart rate will rise if you are monitoring heart rate as pain goes up. It's going to be real slow. Teal, I don't know what that means. Heart rate will rise if you want to monitor for pain, but it's going to be real slow now. Normally, it's going to be slow. Must be.
Several different conversations. She was talking about the whelping. Of those 15 puppies.
You know, I had the same thought too, but I didn't want to say that. That this could be the longest whelping known to man.
I did a pressa that was 15, and just have a lot of coffee or caffeine or something.
Yeah, like one.
I'll let you know how it all goes. Okay. Maddie is in good condition though, Gail. She was the number three dog de Bordeaux in the country. They were actively campaigning her and she was just fit and trim and beautiful. I can't say so much now. She looks comfortable.
I know.
Good. How much does she weigh now, Kim? Do you know?
She was 120 pounds when she was actively being shown. She's now, I think they said the last time it was 140 or plus there. They didn't get her on the scale on Monday when they went for the x-ray.
I would think it would be higher than that. So, wow, stunning. Well, that'll be fun. Okay.
Yeah, I'll try and get the x-ray and put it out so everybody can see what I'm looking at. The puppies don't look huge. They look good size. They look uniform in size. So I'm happy about a lot of what I'm seeing. Maddie just looks horribly uncomfortable. And I said to them, you know, just feed her every couple of hours because she needs more nutrients. Although she's 100+ pounds, she needs more.
Yeah, if you're going to keep her condition up, and you know, it'd be nice to have a little milk. So, because bottle feeding. Yeah,
that's my concern about feeding these 15 puppies. And, you know, they've got Calsorb on hand. So, you know, they're going to do that. The doctor gave them Pitocin and said, you know, here we go. If you need it. So there's a lot of resources that we have. I watched the video of how to stimulate the puppy with the needle to make them breathe. I've got the D-League catheters. I think we're all set, but 15, oi.
Yeah, oi. I have 15 golden swans. We did it in 7.5 hours. So they can pop them out, but I just can't imagine a dog de Bordeaux doing that, but maybe she will. Okay. We have all kinds of conversations going on here. Tracy does remind you, Terry, to Doppler her on her side, not her back. That is really important. If you Doppler in the back, you're more likely to double count. Sylvia is talking to Renee about something that I don't think I know what's going on. Sylvia, I don't see you here, but something about FedExing. I don't know if we need to be...
I was asking about getting the likelihood of getting semen from Canada.
Oh, I think everybody's getting it without problem right now. Renee, were you, weren't getting semen in from Canada, were you? No, I didn't think so. Well, somebody asked on the list the other day, Sylvia, and they were able to get it in. Renee?
I shipped from South Carolina to New York while I was away, and it got there early. But FedEx is not returning because we've had a couple of issues with our office. They are not guaranteeing anything. They have no money back. They're just saying, so luck, have a nice day, bye-bye. They have lost a semen tank that was being returned to another animal hospital. So that's been an adventure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, great. I'm shipping in frozen next week. That's not making me feel any better.
Plan ahead, everybody. Plan ahead.
I'm planning mine a month ahead. I just made arrangements because of that. So, hopefully.
Well, and that was why I was wondering coming across the border, because mail's been so slow. I was curious if anybody'd been successful with getting the tanks over.
This is frozen or fresh chilled?
I'm hoping for fresh. We've got to get him checked.
Ask on the list, because I know I was reading on the Good Dog Breeder site the other day and people were shipping it in, and I think there was a conversation on Myra's list too. Yeah, hey Fatima.
Hi, someone had posted on our Facebook group maybe 2 weeks ago, or I can't recall exactly how long ago, but they had an issue with the ferry part getting from Vancouver Island to the mainland and then getting into the USA. But otherwise, there's been no issue with anybody else that I've talked to that has shipped fresh chilled. I ship fresh chilled. I'm the other way, though, from Arizona to Calgary in the end of September. And there was no problem getting that in. So as long as you have your commercial invoice and your paperwork all in order when you ship it. And I found what was really handy is I made a FedEx account for myself, and the gal that shipped me the semen was able to do it directly billing to my own account. So she didn't have to pay for it. I just paid for it directly and it came totally fine.
That's sort of what I've been hearing, that it's a heck of a lot easier to move semen than human beings right now.
Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah. And my breeding worked, right? Like, you know, by luck and happenstance, my timing was fine. So hey. I freaked out over absolutely nothing.
It's our nature.
Yeah. Just saying. I felt like I was going to vomit for about a week, but I'm fine. And it's fine. And there's pups coming. So we're
three weeks
from due date.
That's exciting. So. 3 weeks. So that's like just past Thanksgiving.
Yeah. December 1 is day 63.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Perfect. Oh, that'll be awesome. Fun.
Yeah. But that's what I know about shipping fresh. It seems to be going okay. Just have your papers in order, have an invoice, make sure your declaration form is correct, and it should be just fine.
Thanks, Bettina.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thanks. You too.
Thanks.
Jen mentioned the Doppler video for Terry of doing the golden. I think it's on the site, Jen, but I'll go. I think it's in courses, but I'll go check again. I think it's in the module, the third trimester module. Okay, so I have a question from Brenda. I actually have a few questions from Brenda that she mailed in. Brenda, I see you're on. I don't know if you can unmute yourself, but if not, I will read your questions. I just lost the chat. Am I still on?
While you're looking, if you don't mind, just on the calcium, do you go ahead and give it if the dog's not having any symptoms, or do you wait? I've been going ahead, like my Quaker at 4 is how many of the Doppleroids it says that she can have in a day. So I've been giving her 2 in the morning, 2 in the evening, but she's not having any symptoms. Sorry.
Yeah, so I don't give it if the bitch is showing no signs, but I'm hyper alert because just like with pain, you don't want to get behind on it. But no, you don't have to give it if she's perfectly fine and there's no reason to do it.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Okay, Brenda says her computer doesn't have a mic. So let me see if I can find, hang on a second. I can't, having a Zoom problem here. Okay, just having trouble. Brenda's back in. Huh. Okay, here we go. So Brenda's puppies are 4 weeks old. She normally, and they're just starting to be weaned, and she normally feeds kibble, but she wants to start the puppies on raw. Her question is, do I just start them on their mother's kibble and add some chicken? Should I boil the chicken first? How many times a day to feed? So let me just address that first. So you can absolutely start them on the softened kibble of their mom, but don't just add chicken, Brenda. Add a raw dog food. The calcium phosphorus ratio in meat, like chicken breast or chicken thighs, is too much phosphorus and not enough calcium. And so it's really important with our puppies that we keep that ratio balanced. And the best way to do it, if you don't want to get a biology degree in nutrition, is to use dog foods, use certified dog foods. So go get some raw food from a local pet store and mix that in with the kibble, or just go directly to raw. Most important thing about raw is to warm it. It's really true with kibble too. Puppies tend to do better if the food is warmed, but definitely with raw food, you want it to be, you know, 100 degrees. So you can put it in hot water. You can do a quick saute. I usually do the hot water. So, you know, I have a container and I put it in a bag and put it the raw food in a plastic bag into the warm food until it's heated. You can do a quick microwave. That's not ideal, but you're not doing it for very long, so it'll be fine. So not just chicken, some sort of raw food. How many times a day do you feed them solid food? So initially, as you start, unless they're really ravenous, the first day, usually they'll eat twice a day, and then I increase it to 4 times a day. And a lot of people just feed them 3 times a day. So I don't know, who feeds 3, who feeds 4 at the start? 4, Barb says 3, Trish says 4, Kelsey does 4. So it's sort of a mix, but I tend to try to do that last meal as I'm going to bed, because then they tend to not wake me up in the morning. So I want something in their stomach as they go to bed, so that at 5 in the morning, they're not telling me they're super hungry. So for 3 to 4 times a day, they'll vary in how much they eat. I haven't asked what breed you have. So If you have Labradors, they'll eat it all every time, but most other breeds will be a little pickier, and some meals they'll eat it all and some meals they won't. There's a calculator, a raw food calculator in A to Z where you can, an Airedoodle, so that's that a Airedale and a poodle. So reasonably good sized dogs, but maybe not the biggest eaters in the world. Yeah, unless they're really unusual. Typically anything with poodle in it is gonna have some picky days. So, you know, if they don't eat it, you can feed it to mom. If they don't eat it, you can reheat it later. I don't tend to keep it for more than a meal or two. They tend to get, they turn their noses up at some point. So I think we answered all of that. And then the, oh, and there's the raw food calculator in, I think it's your puppy's fifth week and or your litter's fifth week in A to Z, and you can put in the weights of your litter. So when you feed raw, you do it based on the weight, the combined weight of all the puppies, and you can put in their weights and it'll tell you how much food to feed each day. And initially you're just gonna feed them the raw food, and then you'll add in the supplements over a couple of days. So the, initially you're just gonna feed them raw food, and then you'll add in some probiotic and then the fish oil and then the multivitamin. Brenda also has a puppy, and this is super common. I'm sure you guys have experienced, you know, the one puppy. So Brenda did have really good weather, and she was taking the litter outside. And now the weather's bad and she can't take them outside anymore. And she has that one puppy that is just crying all the time because the pen is super boring and doesn't really want to stay in there all day and wants somebody to be entertaining her all the time. So Brenda's question is, am I, you know, if I go in and respond to her, am I teaching her to scream and somebody will respond? At 4 weeks, they don't learn that well. They're not the best learners in the world just because of their brain development. But still, you if she's fine, if you know she's not hungry, she's not cold, she's not hot, she's got things to do, then do your best to not respond to her. And it is just a puppy typically that's bored, you know, that had seen the whole big wild world out there. And now, you know, is stuck with these other puppies. Like, what the heck is with that? And I want to be out doing things. So one of the questions that Brenda asked is, should she have a sleeping pen and a day playpen? We definitely expand. So at night they have a small, somewhat boring space. And then during the day, they have a larger, more interesting space with more stuff. You'll probably find that if you have the room and the gear to actually move them someplace during the day, that you'll get less of that, I want out of here, I'm really bored. But if you don't have the space, don't worry about it. I occasionally have a second pen set up, but normally they're in the same pen. It's just one's really small and somewhat boring at night, and then one's pretty big during the day. So who, anybody else have any ideas for the one crying puppy that spends its entire time asking to get out? No, am I the only one that has those? Wow.
Well, I, you know, we only had, it's been 10 years since we had a singleton, and she was really good at self-entertaining. So I mean, I don't know. She still will entertain herself in the funniest ways. So I just didn't run into that.
I love those puppies. I get these one puppies though, even in large litters. They just are like, I don't want to hang out with these guys anymore. I want to be with you and more interesting. And anyway, maybe it's just my puppies, but, and it's almost always a bitch, just saying. So hopefully that helps, Brenda. Go ahead. Who was that?
Putting in that novelty items, you know, in there, you know, not the same ones, because you know how they love something new.
If you're not rotating your stuff, Brenda, definitely rotate your toys. They don't have to have the same things all the time. So take them out, rotate them in 2 days later. Barb's right. Then it'll be more interesting, more novel, and put it in different places so that the pen is different all the time. And it can be silly things. I get those Rubbermaid little basins, you know, that you do dishes in. They cost $5 and they're great for puppies. So anything you can put in there that's different and safe so that they, because they will try and kill themselves.
I even make the surfaces uneven and put the uneven surfaces different places, you know, so it becomes anything to change up the.
Change is good with puppies. Let's see. I want to get to, where's Tracy? She made it to day 61. 61 plus.
Hey, yeah, because 61 days is almost
over. I know. What a
hot diggity.
Let's hope it's not tonight. Let's hope it's a nice.
Doesn't 60, look like it.
63 days would be great. That's remarkable.
She has nine or 10. She has 9 or 10.
Wow.
So on top of the 12 2 weeks ago almost. And then Ember is pregnant. So
you're timing well. You're definitely hitting your timing. That's great about Ember. Congratulations. 3 litters. Good luck with that. Let's see. Teal asked if I can post a link to the Glycoflex study. So it's not a study. It is right up by... might be Autumn Davidson. I'm trying to think of which repro vet it is, but yeah, I'll try and find it. It might still be in my Google history because I literally was just reading it yesterday or before. Terrific. I'm looking at Brenda and her bones. Erin loves her singleton. Yeah, I love my singletons. They're the best. Okay, last call for questions.
I have a question. Because my vet wouldn't allow me to pick up my female on Sunday, I asked her to do just a smear Sunday. She didn't want to do a smear on Sunday because that would take extra time. So she'd do it Monday morning before I picked her up. And of course, it was when she claims 100% parabasals.
Of course, it was
many
neutrophils.
But she didn't seem concerned about it. You know, because basically, isn't that can be caused from stress, but can also be infection.
It's not abnormal at all to see. And she was doing smears prior to that and she didn't see any neutrophils, right? Or she didn't mention
mention them to me.
yeah but it's uncommon. I'd say you could ask, but I think you probably pushed those conversations. When did she end up getting bred? When was the surgical? Saturday afternoon,
and I, you know, as late as you can in the day, and I, you know, I think she did it in the morning.
Well, you got her to Saturday. That's better than Friday. So Barb was negotiating all week with her vet on how to do this frozen semen breeding. Well,
it's hard because sometimes when you know, you think, I understand the fact that they just, you know, are used to people just taking everything they say and just rolling with it. You tell me this, okay, you know, and then now I started asking questions and, you know, and then of course I had to deal with her new vet on one day. So that added, you know, more issues to the deal. So, but, oh well, but it is what it is. And she's going to have puppies.
Saturday was not a bad day. It was not a bad day. I wouldn't worry about the neutrophils.
Better than Friday.
So I would say that likely diastasis was Sunday. If she was 100% on Monday.
Well, that's what I put down. Yeah. I just thought I have to, you know, just.
Yeah. So. Yeah. You know, okay. we do the best we can, but then that should give you a pretty good whelping window with that Sunday diastasis. Yes.
All right.
Because they move quickly, but they don't move to 100%. Not that fast.
Yeah, that's what I...
And that actually means that Saturday was probably a good day to breed. So, fingers crossed. Okay.
Hi.
Hi, Teresa.
Hormone replacement therapy that humans do. And the reason I ask is because I had a spayed cat who for 3 years would act like she was in heat. And I took her to the vet numerous times over the 3 years. She is the most expensive cat I own. And she would go into heat, spray, posture, everything. And eventually he contacted a specialist in cats and said, if there's somebody in the house that takes hormone replacement, it will affect the cat. Is this possible with dogs as well?
It is if you do the skin hormone replacement. So the
pill, I do.
That's it. So if the animals come in contact with it, they can react very strongly to it. So it definitely happens in dogs. I can look for that research. I know the Poison Control Center put out a warning on that. So finding a way, I'll pull that up because they talked about how to avoid it. You know, sort of what.
Yeah, and so the cat would lick the back of my hand.
Yep.
That would be, you know, every few days. And yet I'd wash my hands and it may be the next morning. And just that residue on the skin that's coming out of the skin. So
it's the same with dogs.
Yeah. And Renee just said that oddly it affects males more than females. And my dogs lick me all the time.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let me pull that up and post it in the group because it is a concern trying to manage that.
Okay. So would it then lessen the chance of pregnancies in the animals? Is that what I'm going to look at or?
I'm not going to speak off the top of my head. Renee may know. I don't remember. I mean, I would think it would because it's been a while, but it's primarily estrogen, isn't it? And
estrogen and progesterone.
But yeah.
The progesterone's a pill. The estrogen's a cream.
So estrogen has to fall for bitches to get pregnant. And obviously estrogen in males is problematic. So yeah, you definitely want to read up on what's been published on that and figure out how to.
Well, then I can just go off the medication, I guess, and be pleasant to everybody.
And get your kids pregnant, which.
Well, the dogs get pregnant, yes. And mom will just have to go to the doghouse.
No one will.
This is Jen. I know somebody directly that had that issue with the skin hormone and it affected her female's cycle. Yeah. So, and her males were going crazy all the time.
Because bitches were sort of in season, like the cat.
Yep. Exactly. Oh, by the way, I still can't find that video you took of that lady with the golden retriever. It was like about a half hour video of you going all over the abdomen.
I think that was my girl. I'll see if I can find that. I think that was Dreamer.
Yeah, it was good because it was very thorough. I like that one.
I'll see if I can track that one down. I thought maybe it got dropped from the course. We've had so many changes.
I liked it better than the Boston Terrier.
Boston Terrier.
Girl. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I think she had 12 puppies, 11 puppies. Oh my girl God. Had 11 puppies. So it was a lot of, Dopplering.
Cool.
Go. I'll try and find that. Excellent, guys. Last call. Okay. This weekend, Canadian Kennel Club Seminar 14 and 15. I did not get the URL up. I will try and track that down and put it in the Facebook group. 19 November, Singletons, Raising Singletons. That's at 3 p.m. And 14 December at 2 p.m., Living with Intact Dogs. And we got...
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I was going to say, we have lots of puppies coming this weekend. So good luck to everybody. Or this week. Eve, go ahead.
I just wanted to say it's not a question, but just since a number of people are on the call who were all also on Facebook while I was in 2 days of various questions and crisis, I just wanted to say thank you to everybody for what an incredible community of people and the expertise of this group, and as well as the support of this group is just something I'm really appreciative for. So thank you, everybody.
We're glad you have one healthy,
very cute,
strong, powerful little girl there.
Okay, sorry, put her back down. She was sleeping. She didn't want me to do that.
No worries. Laura just corrected me. It is 16 December. Sorry, I've been saying the wrong one. Living with Intact Dogs. It is at 2 o'clock. So that part I have right. So my apologies. It is now
16.
Yeah. You'll get your reminders, but yeah, 16. Sorry.
So I just want to say, I'm so excited. I got to attend a call. I have obedience class on Tuesdays during the call, Tuesday nights, and then Thursdays during the day, I'm in obedience class. But I'm home with puppies, so I...
Yay! Oh, we're glad you were able to get on. So nice to have you. Terrific, guys. It was wonderful to see everyone. Good luck with whelpings and litters and puppies. And we will talk to you on Facebook. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Bye.